So are you the anti-Michael Pollan?
Well, there's some things where Michael Pollan and I totally agree. His steer being knee-deep in mud, both Michael and I think that's absolutely bad. Also, our opinions on animal rights are pretty similar, and there's other things that we don't agree on. I think what we have to do in a lot of things is find where we can agree. Michael Pollan is a definite friend of family farms. Ranchers are family farms, and ranchers need to be communicating that out to the public. There are some people in the public that think if the cattle go to a Tyson plant, the cows and calves are raised totally different than if they went to the plant that sells to Whole Foods. I mean, that's just simply not true. Cows are out on free range regardless of where the meat goes. Things this basic, the public doesn't know. I have talked to people that thought that beef were raised in stalls like veal calves. They just have no idea. They don't know the difference between broiler chickens and layers. They don't know the difference between dairy cows and beef cattle. Just some of the most basic things we need to be educating the public on. And I think ranchers need to just be making a lot of YouTube videos showing what they do on their ranch. Let's get away from all the PR fluff stuff. Let's leave that at home. What do I do on my ranch to take care of my cattle, how I feed them, how I care for them, how I vaccinate them in the squeeze chute, and just show these things. Because things that are just regular, ordinary things to the rancher, to the public, is something new. I think this is one of the reasons why the public likes shows like Dirty Jobs and Modern Marvels. Because the public we have today is just totally separated from where food comes from, where anything comes from.
So given what you know about animal behavior and what Michael Pollan and some of the HSUS people are talking about, where's the future for animal production and agriculture? Is it still possible to do this?
Well, yes. And what animal production and agriculture needs to do is to show what they're doing right. I eat meat. I eat all the animal proteins. In fact, my metabolism can't function without animal protein. I tried a vegan diet one time. I get all lightheaded. I think there's different genetics in how people can tolerate the lack of animal protein. We've got to show what we do and show how we can do things right. When I went out to a big press conference out in Hollywood, the entertainment press, all they wanted to talk about was how cattle were raised, how the stun guns work, and the moderator had to cut it off so that they get some movie questions. The entertainment press didn't even want to do movie questions. They wanted to do autism questions and cattle questions. And there was just curiosity. They just wanted information. See, one of the big problems they have on the Internet is it magnifies the extreme right against the extreme left. I mean, you've kind of got the extremists on both sides having a very big voice. Most people are much more around in the middle. I sit and talk to people on planes, and they're just interested to find out when I talk to them about the McDonald's audits. They go, oh, McDonald's is doing stuff like that? We need to be just talking about the good things we do. But it can't be just PR stuff. We can't be using sanitized language like harvest facility. That's a bunch of BS. I will never call a meat plant. I'll call it a meat plant, but I'm not going to call it a harvest facility. Let that we do with grain.
So what should livestock producers do?
Livestock producers need to make sure they're doing stuff right. There's been some big die-offs of feedlot cattle due to heat stress. We are going to have to build shades for those cattle. We don't seem to have enough groundwater to use sprinklers, so we're going to have to give them shade. We cannot have cattle die-offs like that. That has to be fixed. We also have to work on the mud problem in feed yards. But the cattle die-offs, they got to stop, and we're going to have to build shade. Or you're going to have to put Brahma blood in the cattle, and if you put Brahmin blood in the cattle, then they're not going to have as good a meat. So to get the kind of cattle that gives the kind of meat we want, we got to shade those animals.
Just the opposite. We had a terrible winter, as you know.
Yeah.
And that could happen again. So what about the situations that feed yards face with the, you know, if you get 2 feet of snow,
well,
it's hard
some
to
of that
when
they had, you see, that gets back to what you, how do you deal with the snow? Are you plowing it away? Is management out there doing everything they can to keep cattle going into drifts? That's something that's much more management, much more up to management to, you know, try to prevent that. Then there's some weather events that's so extreme, like a tornado goes through a feed yard. There's anything you can do about that, and that's going to kill a bunch of cattle. There's nothing you can do about that. But the heat stress that we have engineering fixes for that. But other storm things, there's a big difference between the well-managed feed yard where everybody was out there plowing and, tending to the cattle in terms of how many cattle they lost compared to where everybody just went home. You know, and so sometimes storms happen. Nature can be really harsh. We had terrible storms in Colorado, and we had 20-foot drifts on the freeway, and a lot of cattle died, and a lot of wildlife died. There was nothing we could do about it. You know, ranchers just have to work as hard as they can to get out there and get them fed and and that's all you can do. You know, sometimes you have storms and I have a tornado and go through a dairy and it kills a bunch of cattle. There's not anything I can do about that.
You talk about Proposition 2. Do we need to legislate how we take care of animals?
I think what we need to be doing is we need to be cleaning up our house and we need to be showing it. And one of the problems I have found sitting on these committees making guidelines is the worst producers get on these committees and they water down the guidelines. You know, we need to have the best producers on the committees making the guidelines and then giving people a chance to work up. Nope, we need to just clean up the house and we need to be showing it. But we still got some people out there with a half-dead cancer eyes and things like that that take them to the half-dead cow dealer. And unfortunately, some of those places still exist. That needs to be cleaned up. Sale barns, I know, are working on their handling. We cannot have rough handling at sale barns, you know, because the public can just walk in there and see that. Nope, we got to clean up the house and we got to show it. We got to get rid of all the mystery. You know, right now, you know, they're showing all these outside views. Here's the mystery shed and all kinds of bad stuff happening in it. I just was back in the Midwest where they're now building some of these monoslope buildings and the hoop-type buildings, keeping cattle inside. I've seen mud holes in that. If you're going to keep cattle inside in those kind of buildings, you're going to have to put a lot of bedding in there. Otherwise, you're going to get a mud hole. Cattle all covered with crap, that just isn't going to fly with the public.
So we can make animal agriculture, any kind of agriculture, look pretty, look better?
Well, there's some things we are going to have to make look better. And the amount of cattle that have died this year, that's not acceptable. It's not a matter of looking better. That's basic animal welfare. How can you explain to the public that thousands of cattle die from heat stress and it can be prevented with shades or with sprinklers? And I realize you don't have enough groundwater for the sprinklers. But, there's some feed yards that are going to have to build shades. I mean, JBS out in Colorado went in and they tore out their old Montfort Cooner yard. Because it was a mud hole pancake, they ripped down the whole entire feed yard and came in and they redid all the dirt work. It's going to be really nice. It's going to cut the amount of mud in that yard down just drastically. Because I drove by there after they redid one side of it. And the difference in the mud, it was like the difference between night and day. Some of the stuff we're going to have to fix. We have to look at everything we do and say, could I explain this to my wedding guests? A well-run slaughter plant passes that test. I've taken many people out to a well-run slaughter plant, and I have them watch the cattle get off the truck. I have them watch the cattle going up the chute, and they go, oh, they just go up there quietly. And then we go in and we look at the stunner. But I want them to see that the cattle are walking into the plant quietly, and they don't know, they don't seem to know where they're going. But if a person stands in the wrong place or chains hanging down, they're afraid of that.
What has been the response to people when you say, go ahead and use the slaughter word? Not too long ago, I did an interview with the packing industry, some of those people.
Well, the packing...
And they use harvest.
Oh, I think it's a bunch of BS, and they do it because they're kind of scared. You know, it used to be where a slaughterhouse in the 50s was a totally ordinary thing, and class trips went on to the slaughterhouse in the 50s. And it was just one of the things you went and saw. You'd go see a dairy. You'd go see a local industry. When I was a little kid, I had this map of the United States, and it had pictures of each state's products, you know, cotton and oil and cattle and things like that. Just kids today are getting totally separated from the practical reality of where anything is coming from. Now, I guess now oil wells now are getting to find out how those work. But we've got to, like, take the mystery out of this stuff, and you just show it in a matter-of-fact way. And I think a slaughter plant needs to be on Modern Marvels. And you carefully explain and show the whole thing.
A lot of your ideas, recommendations, would be common sense if that producers, it doesn't occur to them or...
Well, you get into a thing I call bad becoming normal. I'd go out to a big feed yard or I'd go out to a plant and I'd get their handling really nice. A year later, I'd come back and the handling had regressed. Now, the reason it's not regressing now is because companies like the Cargill Corporation have put in video auditing where there's auditors in an outside state checking in on it. Now, 2 years ago, I put up on YouTube my pig slaughter video, which now has over 400,000 views. The people in the meat industry, they were against that. Now, it doesn't tell what plant it's at. That I'm keeping to myself. But it shows electric stunning of pigs. This is my training video. And I just explain how the electric stunner works in just a matter-of-fact way. It's a training video, no PR fluff stuff. I just took segments of my training video and cut it up into different things like cattle handling and stunning and stuff like that, and put up separate segments.
Have we gone far enough with our beef quality assurance programs that many feeding organizations are looking at now, the where a feed yard actually goes through the steps to be together.
Oh, and I think the BQA is really important. I'm totally behind BQA. And Texas Cattlemen's Association, Texas Cattle Feeders, they're auditing handling. Now, one of the problems you get is handling tends to get good when the clipboard's around, because what's been learned with the video auditing in the plants, when cameras are being installed, you know, and they'd hook up one camera live, but the people didn't know that camera was hooked up, stunning didn't change. Stunning was so dependent on maintenance that just didn't change, but the prod score doubled as soon as the back was turned.